8 years ago, I was coming to the end of my first year of study at theological college, and it was time to choose a placement. When I found out that these summer placements would be at any Anglican church, I immediately knew that I wanted to do mine in Israel, having been on there for a tour some years before and having loved every minute. I managed to find a placement at St. George's Cathedral, the Anglican Cathedral in East Jerusalem. Shortly after I arrived, the Archbishop and Dean needed to go to a church conference in Cyprus, and so they left for the week with the instructions that if a priest wasn't able to come in the morning, I was to lead a service of the Book of Common Prayer for morning prayer, and then in the evening lead a service of evening prayer. That week, a family arrived in the guest house. A man named Tim and his wife Sally and their daughter Anna. And they came every morning to the cathedral for the morning service. As it turned out, a local priest did make it to any of the services that week. Now, I wasn't really sure what I was doing leading the services. As I said, I'd only been at theological college for a year at this point, and I hadn't led any Book of Common Prayer services before this point. But I felt that I wanted to include congregation in the worship. And so for the second day, when Tim walks through the door, I asked him if he would like to do one of the readings. And he seemed very keen to, and he agreed. And so this carried on every morning, with Tim or Sally doing one of the Bible readings, or perhaps reading a prayer for each of those days. On one day, it was a saint's day, and we had special prayers and readings. And Tim listened very graciously as I explained why certain readings will be used this day instead of the usual ones that we've been reading. On the last day of their stay, Tim's daughter Anna, who was roughly the same age as myself, mentioned that she was from Winchester. And I thought, well, this is a church is often a small world. People tend to know each other. So I wondered if she knew my brother-in-law, George, who had lived in Winchester. And as luck would have it, she did. And later that day, I was speaking to George, who was back in England, and mentioned that I had met an Anna from Winchester who he knew. But he was rather confused at this point. He said to me that the only Anna he knew in Winchester was the daughter of the bishop. When I read this, he sent this by text, and when I read those words, my heart sank, because I thought to myself, surely I would have known if the bishop of Winchester had been coming to my services every morning. And surely he would have said something. And did I really ask the Bishop of Winchester to read in my services? And did I really explain to him all the ways that the services would change on holy days? I saw Tim and his family in the lobby of the guest house just before they left, and I went to say goodbye. And there my gaze was drawn down to his hands, and there sitting on his finger was indeed the Bishop's ring. And so I had to nervously thank him for putting up with my rather amateur services, and apologise for not recognising him as one of the senior bishops of the Church of England. But he explained that he'd been very happy to have been a normal congregation member for the week, and I wished him a safe journey home. You can imagine the smile on his face 2 years later when I arrived at the bishop's house for an interview asking to come to his diocese. In fact, I promised him that if he took me as a curate, that I wouldn't ask him to do any readings. In our gospel reading today that we heard, we hear about the crowds who have no trouble in recognising who Jesus was. As he enters the city, the crowd shouts, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" They can see that Jesus is a king straight away, and yet he is a different king to the one they were expecting. They should have known this from Jesus' teaching. And even the donkey should have been a clue. This was not a conquering king arriving to take the kingdom by force. Instead, their king would become the sacrificial lamb. In a world where power was displayed by military might and triumphant victory parades, Jesus arrives on a donkey to herald in a new heavenly kingdom marked by humility, peace, and love. That word, Hosanna, which the crowd shout, is an interesting word. It is one that we can often assume just means praise God, but in fact its meaning is more nuanced. Hosanna is the Greek rendering of a Hebrew phrase,
I do apologize for my pronunciation ahead of time. Hoshea-na. That Hebrew phrase is found only one time in the whole of the Old Testament. And we heard it read in our reading today. It's found in Psalm 118 in verse 25. It is, save me, or help, save me. Or as the reading from the Psalms renders it, the phrase, Lord, save us. This was not just a cry of praise and worship, but it was a cry for help. Over time, the meaning of this phrase had become to mean not just a cry for help, but a declaration that salvation had indeed arrived. The crowd saw that Jesus was king, and they shouted out, Hosanna. They were both crying out to be saved and declaring that their salvation had indeed arrived. The problem was, he wasn't the king they were expecting. They wanted a conqueror to overthrow the Roman rule, yet Christ's victory was even greater, to overcome sin and death. And so the crowd which recognized Jesus failed to understand fully who he was. We see this in our reading when the people in the city stir and they ask, who is this? The crowds who were turned out to greet Jesus correctly identify him as the son of David, but they didn't understand truly what that meant. And so within the week, the crowds would turn their back on Jesus, and their chants would change from Hosanna to crucify. It is one thing to recognize who Jesus is, to understand he is the Messiah, and yet it is another thing altogether to then follow him. The crowds were crying out for salvation, but they hadn't grasped what it meant. On Palm Sunday, we join with the crowds to celebrate Jesus as the Messiah. And together, we also cry, Hosanna. We cry, Jesus, help us, save us. And we recognize that he himself is that help, that Jesus is our salvation. But we can also do more than just celebrate. We can examine our own lives. The crowds who laid down branches in front of Jesus had failed to lay down their lives also. So may we be faithful in following Christ, even when that path may be seen different to the one we were expecting, or perhaps when things don't go the way we had hoped. As we move into Holy Week and look ahead to Jesus' death, we are reminded that we still live in a world that is filled with pain and suffering. But we see that our God did not leave us here alone, but came and dwelt among us and, what's more, suffered for us also. And in doing so, he conquered sin and death and brought to us salvation. Hosanna. Amen.